All right, praise God. We're in the book of 1 Peter. What, you got something? Oh. Okay, the script is coming around. God's Word is in it. That's what makes it good. Because God's Word is on that page. We are in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, and we're looking at the last half of the chapter tonight. We're going to finish, hopefully we're going to finish chapter 2, and then we can move on next week to chapter 3. But while they're passing that out, I can just tell you this, all right? Last week, God, through Peter, told us that the Holy Spirit begins conforming us to Christ as soon as we're born again. As soon as we're born again, the Holy Spirit stops trying to draw us to Christ and starts trying to conform us to Christ. And we have a big part to play in that. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. We have to deny ourselves. We have to give up our will and do the Lord's will, which is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that teaches us. He starts that process as soon as we're born again. The fruit of the Spirit should then become our focus. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what Jesus brought into the world and used it to bring us to Him. He used it to let people see how good God is and how good He was to them, right? So we should start, I'm telling you, I'm bad about this too. We should know those fruits of the Spirit, and we should be doing our best to exhibit those fruits all the time, because that is what is going to draw people. That's the example we need to have, all right? Displaying the fruit is imitating Christ. That's what it comes down to. If you're displaying the fruit of the Spirit, you're imitating Jesus to everybody you run into. Whether you know Him or not, it doesn't matter. They'll still recognize it. They'll still appreciate it. Oh, you know, the world out there doesn't appreciate much nowadays. But they will respond to kindness and love and gentleness, right? And so try it. Get a hold of knowing the fruits and use them. The fruit of the Spirit fuels our sojourn here. The fruit of the Spirit is our fuel. Just like food is a fuel for our bodies, the fruit of the Spirit is it's power for our spirit to present Christ. So it's power to live as holy, as a holy priesthood. That's what the Lord calls us now. We are a holy priesthood. So we should be sacrificing ourselves. You know, the priesthood sacrificed animals. But we don't do that anymore. So what are you going to sacrifice? You sacrifice your will and you do His will. And that's how you sacrifice. Sacrificing our life to live and to give the gospel of Christ to all we may. That's everybody we meet. Nobody is eliminated. God doesn't eliminate anyone. We shouldn't eliminate Him either. So, thus, obedient to the Spirit and pleasing our Lord while on our pilgrimage to our final destination. What makes us pilgrims? That we're here on a religious journey, right? But it's more than that with us. It's not just religion, it's a relationship. So we're on a journey with the Holy Spirit through this life, through this world, and we're trying to get as many as we can to come along with us. That's what we should be doing. That should be our goal. So that would be pleasing to the Lord. This week, we're going to see We shall see God's will for us to live so as to influence people and draw them to Christ. How do you draw them to Christ? So I think you have a sneaking suspicion of what I'm going to say, right? But we're going to see what the Holy Spirit and Peter have to say about it, all right? So let's ask the Lord to bless our time in the Word. Lord, we're so thankful you gave us your Word. We're so thankful that you used the apostles to write down your Word, Lord, so we could have it, study it, learn it, memorize it, let it get into our spirit, Lord, so we can just proclaim you as Lord and Savior to as many people as we meet. Help us, Lord, to take it in and to understand that's what we are to do. That is our mission here on earth as we travel towards our home with you. We want to draw men and women, boys and girls, to you so that they will accept you as their Savior and begin that journey as well. They can be on our pilgrimage too. And I know you'll love that, and I know we'll love it. So help us to do just that as we study your Word, to take it and use it to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. All right, so we're going to start at chapter 2, verse 13, because we ended verse 12 last week. So let's get right into it. Verse 13, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, the Apostle Peter, and he says this, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty, as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So we have a mandate there from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he's telling us to do. In order to give the Lord and his people a good reputation and name, that's what the Lord wants us to do. Lift up his name. Lift up his reputation. Keep it good so that wherever we go, we have an end. Right? Because if we get a bad name, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go. You're going to try to speak the Lord's name and they're not going to want you to do it. They're going to stop you. So try your best always to do what's right. Obey the laws of the culture under which you live. Obey the laws under that culture. Obey the national laws, the regional laws. Obey law enforcement. And abide by the decisions of judges who act on the direction of the government. I know there's some there that we don't want to trust. We don't like it. We've had the back and forth for the last several years with all this stuff. You still need to respect the court system and let the Lord work it out. He will clear it out in due time. If he doesn't clear it out, then that must be his will. He must be using it for his purpose. So what do we have to do? We have to have faith. We have to trust what the Lord is doing. Ooh, that's hard, right? You know, I heard somebody say the other day, faith is what you do while you're waiting for the Lord to make things right. Yeah. Faith is what you do when you're waiting for the Lord to make things right. Well, there's a lot of things you could do, good and bad, but let the Lord work it out. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Abide by the decisions of those judges. Only when a believer... See, here's the caveat, right? Only when a believer is ordered to take action under laws contrary to the Word of God are believers permitted by the Lord to disobey. And it's not really, he doesn't really say it's okay to disobey. No, really what he teaches in his word is to make an appeal. Appeal to that authority. Are you sure this is the right thing to do? Is this really going to be for the best for everybody concerned under this matter? So you make an appeal and you get them to try to think it through a little bit better. If all of that fails, then you have to just refuse. Yes?
Paul says almost the exact same thing in Romans chapter 13.
Yeah, that's right. Authority. That's right. God institutes authority, good and bad. He lets those people rule because it will accomplish His purpose, even when we can't see it, even when we don't believe it. We have to trust God. We have to have faith. Amen? All right. So, otherwise, your rebellious behavior dishonors Christ. If we just flagrantly disobey the law at any time we feel like, well, I just don't want to do that, we bring dishonor to Him. We bring dishonor to each other, to the brotherhood. And so we don't want to do that. We want to build up the brotherhood. We want to build up the church of God. We want to build up the Lord's name in the world so that we can keep moving forward with His plan of salvation for everybody. Acts 5:29 says this, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men when ordered not to speak of Jesus.'" That in itself is an appeal. They were saying to the Jewish leaders, "We have to obey God. You should know that. You're Jews just like we are. In fact, you're leaders. You know that. We have to obey God. How can we refuse God and do what you say? We're supposed to be talking about God." Well, you don't believe Jesus is God? I'm sorry. You'll have to deal with that. But we do, because the things that Jesus had done said He was God. I'm God. Trust me. They didn't want to. The leaders didn't. If you are obeying the law and doing good, you are in the will of God. Obeying the law and doing good. Even when the laws are bad, you can do good. What's that scripture that gives you all the fruits of the Spirit and then it says, against these, there is no law? It's always okay to show the fruits of the Spirit. Get a little tongue-tied there. Get excited. In doing good, you silence the foolish. Who are the foolish? Those denying Jesus. Those are the foolish. Yes. Sometimes people make a joke out of that. They say, you know, the Bible has a word for you people that don't believe in Jesus. It does? Yeah, what is it? Fools. So, you will silence the foolish, those that don't believe in Jesus, who may try to accuse believers falsely. You know, that's what's happening today. People with good intentions get a rally together. They want to go out and stand for good. And what happens? The naysayers and the negative, the rowdies, they come into that group and they create havoc. And the next thing you know, there's conflict and fighting and bloodshed. So how do you do it? How do you demonstrate for good? Well, you have to find a way that you don't have so much conflict. And if conflict starts, you have to find a way to get away and end it. You can't stand there and fight and tell people you're for peace. No, you're fighting. You're not for peace, you're fighting.
Fighting's not fruit of the Spirit.
No, it's not. So you have to get back into the fruits of the Spirit. Thank you, Jim. Believers have liberty in Christ. We do, don't we? We have liberty in Christ. We don't have a bunch of strict laws that we have to follow. We have liberty in Christ. We have freedom in the Spirit. We have grace in the Lord. We have that. But they should not use that liberty selfishly, benefiting themselves instead of serving the body of Christ. What we do should be good for the body. Can't just be selfish ambition for ourselves. Then you'll be exhibiting the fruits. Here's a parallel passage from Romans. It's in chapter 15, verse 4 through 7. Paul says this, "For he," that would be the authority, "for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." You need to act appropriately in all situations. Well, how do I know if I'm acting appropriately? Just ask yourself, is this honoring God? Is what I'm doing honoring to God? And if the answer is no, there you have it. You're not acting appropriately. You're not acting honorably. It doesn't take a long checklist to figure that out, does it? You can know it quickly. And then also, the scripture is saying this, "Treat your neighbor as yourself, even if they don't believe in God." We have no right to mistreat non-believers. In fact, we should be treating them better than anybody else because we're trying to win them over to the Lord. We're trying to get them to believe. And you do this for the love of the body of Christ. See, that's self-sacrificing. That's giving up your will for the will of the Lord. He wants this done so that He can get another soul into the kingdom. It's all about the Lord, isn't it? We have no place in it. Why not? Because we died. We died to self, and we live now in the Lord. That's where we're living, and so we should do His ways, right? Do this for the love of the body of Christ and the fear of God. That's like more like respect, right? You would do it because you know it's right. It's a respectful thing to do. Be wise. Be faithful. Fear God. You don't have to fear Him. If you're a believer, you don't have to fear Him because you may end up in the fires of hell. No, that's been taken care of. That question's been answered. That's not even on the plate anymore. What you're doing now, you're doing to promote Jesus to the world so that they will love and accept Him. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions about that section? Comments? All right, let's go on to verse 18 and 19. Submission to masters. Everybody has problems with authority. I don't care who you are. At some point in time in your life, you've probably had an issue with somebody that was in authority over you. And sometimes rightly so, and sometimes no, not rightly so. But no matter whether you were right or wrong or how they were, doesn't matter. Your mission is to bring God honor and glory. That's what you have to do. All right, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. You did the right thing, but you got chewed out. You got maybe even fired for it. I heard of a out in, I guess it was San Francisco, out in California, you know, people just go in the stores and pick stuff up and leave. They don't even bother paying for it, right? So somebody went into the store, I can't remember which one it was, they went into the store, picked something up, out the door they went. Well, one of the employees chased them down and fought with them to get the thing back, but they didn't get it back, and finally the guy got away. That employee was fired because he tried to recover the property. He said, no, we don't want you to do that. Just let them go. Just let them go. Now, that's in California, okay? I don't know what other cities are doing, but that kind of thing is spreading, right? And now, many, many stores, like Walgreens and, you know, stores like that, they're closing down in places because they're losing so much money from theft. So we have a mandate to do good, to glorify God. Verse 18 and 19 speaks of submitting to authority. Any authority under which a believer is serving or living, you should submit to that authority. Whether it's a Christian authority or a non-believer, a non-Christian authority. If they have the authority, they've been put in that position, you have the mandate from the Lord to be submissive. In fact, you're supposed to try to help them be as successful as possible as you can in their position. You try to make them successful. Why? Because that brings glory to God. Because, you know, eventually that person's going to find out you're a believer, and here you have been trying to help them, even though they may not be well liked. You may not like them much yourself, but you have a mandate from the Lord. So, it's not for you. It's for the Lord. It's not your will. It's His will. Lord, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means I have to give in because that's what the Lord wants. He's promoting something. I may not understand it. I may not like it. But I have to go along with it for Him. Right? It's not for me. So, we need to serve under that authority. Believers bring non-believers closer to the Lord by respecting their authority. You build a relationship of respect and authority by doing that. That gives you a greater opportunity to speak about the Lord. You may get an opportunity to speak to them about the Lord, but if you've been treating them mean and nasty and opposing them, they're not going to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't like you because you don't like them. But the Lord says, I want them to like you because you are like me. And you treat them with respect and honor their position. Also, it does not matter that the master is harsh and demanding. No, that doesn't matter. You still are required to be obedient. Or, if it's a compassionate and gentle believer that you're working under. You know, sometimes believers take advantage of other believers because they are working under someone that's gentle and kind, and yeah, we get a little lazy and sloppy about things. That's not right. That's not honoring the Lord. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now we've kind of gotten over to the realm of the believers now. And you're working under a believing person. It may be in a Christian business of some sort or even in a church. You're submissive to them because they have the authority and they are trying to guide you into being more like Christ, just like the Holy Spirit is. you should be submissive, because if you're not going to cooperate with them, they're going to have to give a report about that. When will they give a report? When they're praying about your performance. They'll be talking to the Lord. They're believers. They're praying. They'll be talking about your performance and how it's lacking. Well, how's that going to affect you? It's going to affect your relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is expecting you to do right by them. And if you aren't doing that, He can't bless you the way He wants to bless you. He can't move you up that corporate ladder. Bless you with that. That's called success. Do you think the Holy Spirit wants you to be successful?
Yeah.
Of course He does. But He can't promote you if you're not going to cooperate with Him. You cut that off.
Obedience.
That's right. Obedience is the key. No obedience, no blessing. Now, He doesn't leave you. That never happens. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He just dries up the blessing. Now you're operating on your own. You have to get the job done without His help. Donna?
Okay. How are these people that rule over me or us, and we have to be submissive, and they're watching out for my soul?
Right.
How are they doing that? I'm like floored on this.
Yeah.
One here. Like.
They are responsible. See, just like you're responsible for being obedient to them, they're responsible for guiding you correctly. They're in a position of authority, so that's what they're supposed to be doing. So if they're not doing that, then they're in jeopardy. But if you're cooperating, if you're not cooperating with them, and they're trying to do the right thing and guide you the right way, but you don't cooperate, you got your own agenda, then you are in jeopardy. They are going to be praying about you. If I was an employer and I was a believer and I had believing employees under me, and they weren't performing very well, they were opposing me, and my business wasn't doing well, who do you think I would go to about that? Wouldn't do any good to go to them. They're already showing they don't care. You might even have to speak up sometime and say, you know what, I've been talking to the Lord about your performance. You might want to address the issue. I wouldn't ever threaten them. I wouldn't say, you know, Lord, not. You could tell him he's not happy, he's not pleased with it, but that would be about it. Did that answer your question? You don't look like you got it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's good. Leave the door open. That's good. Patty? They are the person in authority over you. No, they don't. They don't have to be a Christian. But you're still, if you are a Christian, you are still bound by your faith in Christ and His death for you to present Him to them. So you do that by doing your very best on the job. Yeah, because that's exactly right. You would do it as unto the Lord. That way, if you get an opportunity to speak to them about the Lord, there'll be nothing hindering that. They won't say, well, how can you speak to me about the Lord? You do this and you do that. No, that won't be an issue. That's why we have to maintain our testimony. Okay? That's right. Yes. Right. That's one way to deal with it. Yeah. Okay. But if you're just...
You respect, but it's the other person that...
Wait a minute. If you just respect the position, are you going to be praying for that person?
Especially if you don't like the person.
Right. If you don't like that person... So you have to go beyond the position. Yeah. Because, number one, if the person's not saved, you're concerned about their soul. We should be concerned about their soul and what's going to happen to them. So we want to be praying for that if they're not a Christian. And then if I lost my other train of thought there. There was another issue there I was going to talk about. But you have to be concerned about the person just by virtue of the fact that they have a soul that the Lord wants. So you can't just limit it to the position. That's kind of a...
You're right. They have a soul that the Lord wants, but are they willing to give it? And that's not my responsibility.
That's right.
That's not... My responsibility is to continue praying, but you... And you just let it... Leave it in the Lord's hands. That's it.
What else can you do? What else can you do? Either you're going to pray for them that they get saved, or you're not. Which way is going to be pleasing to the Lord?
Your part in praying. In praying.
So if they're not saved, how are they watching out for my soul?
Well,
the person that
God is watching out for your soul.
The person that, if I'm supposed to obey, the person that rules over me,
right.
I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with that. But if they're not saved, how are they watching out for my soul? And how are they going to give an account for my soul?
They would be responsible for training you to do what's right on the job. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then if you aren't doing that, then there could be company consequences. Mm-hmm. And then maybe not in their prayers now, because they're not praying, mm-hmm. but that may come up, could somehow come up in the last day.
Deal with it, or you know what?
So,
take it to above.
Gloria, thank you. Let me go on, okay? All right, so, because I keep losing my train of thought with the things going on. But they're giving you responsibility. So in a sense, they are training you, and you're responsible to be obedient to that training. So in that sense, it might not be directly responsible for your soul, but they are training you in obedience. Yes?
I don't know about anything to me.
Yes, because it's all about the fruits of the Spirit. And so that's what you're exhibiting, the fruits of the Spirit. Be loving, kind, all that. Patty?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right. Did I tell you that or did Jesus tell you that? No, don't give up. Answer my question. Did I tell you you had to do that or did Jesus tell you? Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go to the churches and find people in church and make disciples out of those church people. He just said, go and make disciples. It's not my mandate. Mm-hmm. It's His mandate.
Love others as you love yourself.
Say that again.
Love others as if you love yourself.
That's right. Love your neighbor as yourself. It comes back to that. You know, there's no escaping it. You can't stand before the Lord and say, I didn't feel like I had to love that neighbor. Because... is there anything you can put in there that's going to, Jesus is going to say, yeah, that's true, that's okay. What are you going to put in there? Nothing. Keith?
Most unbelievers know the Bible better than you.
That's right.
So they may be challenging, and if you act out of disrespect or any harsh way to that, that's
right. Right, that's right.
Most
of them know at least one thing better about the Bible than anybody else. And they pound that nail forever, okay? That's the one question they're going to ask you. All right. Can we move on?
Okay.
Running out of time here. Going to have to carry over to next week.
The next sentence, though, as those who must give account, hold them accountable. They're going to answer for the way they treated you.
Yeah, everybody's going to be accountable. Okay. Very good. All right, so what does this boil down to? God shows favor on His servants who trust Him by following His ways and bringing honor to Him, bringing honor to the Lord. If you honor the Lord that way, He is going to honor you. Not with wealth or anything like that, but with peace and love and mercy. You'll get better at sharing the fruits of the Spirit. That is what's going to happen. God created us to bring glory to Him. Submitting to authority is one way to bring glory to Him. That's exactly what He did for His Father. He obeyed. He was obedient even to death on a cross. All right, let's go on to verse 20. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. You did right, but you suffered for it. But you didn't complain about it. You didn't get mad about it and tear things up at work or wherever you were. That's commendable to God. The learning of patience comes to a believer when they endure discipline. Notice, beaten for your faults. That's a harsh discipline, right? Or even for choosing wrongdoing. The first thing, beaten for your faults, that may be something you did unknowingly. You made a mistake, but you were punished for it. But then there's things that you choose to do wrong. You deserve punishment. One way is ignorance. You didn't know you were doing wrong. It happened. You got punished. The other is willful. You chose to do it. Growth in knowledge and likeness of Christ also comes from experience. That's what this is talking about. Experiential knowledge. You gain experiential knowledge about living for the Lord. The glory goes to the Lord. But the spiritual growth goes to the believer. You grow out of the experience. Then when the believer suffers for good works, they are able to endure the injustice with patience.
One of the fruits.
Yes, one of the fruits, because they're trusting the Lord. Ron?
So during World War II, submitted to Nazis. The Nazis slaughtered.
That's a very large question, because you get into a disobedience thing there, right? So how does God get glory out of that? How did the Jews get brought closer to Christ in that? I would have to give that some thought. I don't want to give you just a flippant answer, right?
Oh yeah.
Because that's a deep question. Yeah. So, I'd like to give it some thought before I answer you. Is that okay? Okay. But we're talking about learning endurance and enduring it with patience. Become, and that leads to you becoming a positive example to others and bringing glory to the Lord by being like Jesus in that injustice. Right?
Yes.
The Lord suffered. How did He respond? He forgave them. While He was on the cross, He forgave them. You need to try to respond in a Christ-like manner by the fruits of the Spirit. All right, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return, when He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Yes, amen. believers are called to salvation and they are called to be like Christ, the suffering servant. And that is portrayed in the Gospel of Mark. He's presented as the suffering servant, to follow His example of walking in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit consistently, you'll never be able to do this. You must commit to giving your will to the Holy Spirit and following Him. That's the only way you'll ever do it. Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself." That's give up your will. "And take up his cross and follow Me." In other words, bear the burdens of this life. Bear your cross as I'm bearing it, My cross, and follow Me. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." Give up your will. Take up His will. You'll find life. You'll find life. Jesus suffered to bring glory and many brethren to God. He did both. He brought God glory. He brought many brethren to God. By what? His obedience. And He couldn't have been obedient without giving up His desires and replacing them with God's desires. How many times did Jesus say, "Not My will, but the Father's will"? Not about Me. Greater still, Jesus spoke no ill will. After He was there on the cross, and after the fact, there was no backbiting. He didn't criticize. He didn't get on to them about them, what they had done. He forgave them and tried to win them to Him. Jesus, when mocked, belittled, and painfully injured physically, did not argue back with what would have appeared empty threats. It would have just been empty threats. That's how they would have taken it. Instead, Jesus wholly and unreservedly put all of His trust and obedience in God. Only that allowed Him to forgive those who killed Him. Trusting and obeying His authority. His Father was His authority. He put all His trust and obedience in His Father. He did His will. He followed the Holy Spirit in that. When a person accepts Jesus as their Savior, they are accepting the fact that Jesus took our sins, all of them, away in His death. He took all those sins away. Not the sins you've committed, but even the ones you haven't committed yet. Oh, we have a hard time with that. Yes, we're going to commit sins until the day we go out of here. Sorry, just a sad fact. But He's paid for all of that. We don't have to worry about it. Also, in Jesus Christ, we died. We died to sin. But we should also die to our will. Die to both. Not only did we die to sin in Christ, now we live in and with His righteousness. That's the great substitution. That's the great switch which we struggle with. He took our sin. He gave us His righteousness. How did He do that? Only God can do that. Christ not only bore our sin to give us eternal life, but He transferred His eternal righteousness to us as well. That was part of the transaction. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He, God, made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him," in Christ. That's why we say we're in Christ. We're dead. We only live through Him. I'm dead, yet I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Yes, shout it out. Dr. John MacArthur explains this verse on substitution and imputation, imputing sin from one person to another person. That's a God thing. Only God can do that. Here's what he says. God the Father, using the principle of imputation, taking sin from one and putting it on another, treated Christ as if he were a sinner, though he was not, and had him die as a substitute to pay the penalty for the sins of all those who believe in him. He did not become sin or a sinner, but remained as holy as ever. He was treated as if he were guilty of all the sins ever committed by all who would ever believe on him, though he himself had committed no sin. He took our sin. God put it on him, took it off us, put it on him. The wrath of God was exhausted on Christ, and the just requirement of God's law was met for them for whom Christ died. He paid the debt he didn't owe for our sake. By this imputation, now that's the end of the quote, by this imputation and substitution, Christ took our stripes to remove our sin and gave us his righteousness. Some believe that the stripes of Christ heal them physically. For those who are physically healed by such great faith, I say amen. Praise God. The rest of us are still working to get to that level of faithfulness. If it's possible, we'll work for that. Amen? Before being born again, we were all like sheep, going like stray sheep, living under a shepherd who didn't care for us. Who was that? God's enemy, yes, and our enemy. However, now being born again, we have come back. We have come back to the fold, to the one and only true shepherd, Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd, the one and only good shepherd. Isaiah 40:11 tells us what he is like. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. That's our Lord. Jesus oversees our souls and has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us in obeying our shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now there's some deep stuff in that section. And it prompts those deep questions, just like Ron's question. And I don't want to give some willy-nilly flippant answer. Those kind of things need thought. They need meditation. You need to go in and look at other scriptures and look for parallel scriptures to help you understand it. So do that. Be a Berean. Be a student of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you for your attention. I know I've gone a little over, but we still have announcements. Sorry. You hung in there real well. I didn't even see any nappers tonight.
There was a lot of enthusiasm. A lot of enthusiasm. Great.
All right. Nancy, you got it all ready? Yeah. Kathy, you got it already? All right. Fired up. Okay, you know about the prayer line. Get involved in the prayer line. And you got plenty to pray about, right? Okay, so we need to get involved in that. There's the information there. It's also on the table, the Calendar in the back, thank you. All right, disciples making disciples. Get a calendar. They're available, right? Almost every night of the week. And now I got somebody who wants to do something on Saturday. Praise the Lord. All right, very good. Youth night. If you know any youth hanging around, tell them, hey, they're having something over at the church. You know, that big blue church on Shady Hills Road with the white columns. Tell them about it. Ladies Bible study. You ladies are spreading the word. I come by here on Tuesday night, man, and can't even hardly find a park. Very good. Keep that up. Encourage a pastor, Greg Crocker, this week. His information is in the back. Get one of those slips. Look him up. Send him a note. Praise. Give him some praise. Give him some encouragement. Here's our missionaries that we support directly. So keep supporting them. I know that they look forward to that. And the Lord blesses you when you do that. And the Lord says, call out to me. And I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. How many things does the Lord have hidden from us that we don't know? Boy, I think we're going to have some eye-opening experiences when we get to heaven. All right, so there's one other thing I want to talk about. We developed a list for, we called it Faith Community Church Family Service Directory. And it's based on Timothy 5:3, honor widows who are really widows, right? So what this is, an information sheet, anybody that has a skill that they can use to help a widow in some way, could be almost anything. If you work on appliances, automotive, bookkeeping, carpentry, child care, cleaning, computers, cooking, electrical, electronics, hair care, housekeeping, air conditioners, laundry, lawn care, painting, pest control, pet care, plumbing, roofing, senior care, shopping, transportation, and anything else you can think of, if you are able to help someone in some way by doing that, get one of these forms. We don't even have them printed up and out there yet, but they'll be available soon. Get one of these forms, fill out the information, and when somebody calls the church and says, I have a rat in my house. I need to get that rat out of there. And then we'll say, we'll send some prayer partners over there to pray that rat out of there. Oh, we'll get you some help on that. So that's what that's all about. So try to be a part of that. Amen? All right. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Sorry to keep you late. Father, thank you for your word. It's so good to be in your word and to hear what you've done in your word so we can apply it to our lives today, Lord, so we can have greater faith, greater obedience, greater responses, greater use of the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, so that we can bring greater honor and glory to you. Because that's really what we want to do, is honor and glorify you. So help us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to do just that. I thank you for these saints that come out on Thursday night, Lord, the faithful, and study your word, Lord. Bless them. Give them an extra measure of blessing, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.